Now let's move on to the podcast. All right. We have been out of the podcast business for a while. And I blame Chumpy's recent gainful employment. And I must say, I think it's pretty inconsiderate for you to have success and satisfaction in your career at the expense of a podcast that nobody listens to or cares about. I mean, I know, how could you?
I'm a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've skipped a bunch of these. And I know in the past we've kind of gone and done these sprints through them, but it'd just take too long at this point. We've missed so many. I did make notes for a lot of them. I'll probably go back very long after the fact, add those if I can locate them and have the time to do that. But yeah, for right now, we're just going to move forward on to the Liquid Starshine song fight.
Liquid Starshine, send me a song.
Yeah. All right. And for this podcast, we have a guest.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's Paco Del Stinko, and he has been competing in song fights since 2006. With 233 song fight entries as Paco Del Stinko, with 12 wins to his name. He is a good 4 songs ahead of Berkeley Social Scene's total songs. But in addition to that, he has like 8 or 9 collaboration entries with Billy's Little Trip, and 3 as Odoriferous Valley with Glennie. He's competed in 10 different Nur-Eins, winning 6 different rounds, I think, and winning Nur-Eins 6. And I recently went back and listened to a bunch of that stuff, and it's amazing. And Paco Del Stinko recorded the iconic Nur-Ein theme for the listening party, too, which is also brilliant and epic. He did a wonderful cover of Butterfly Massacre by Fluxum Florvum. He did a fabulous theme song for Sock Puppet. He did 7 great submissions to the random cover challenge, including, suspiciously, a Billy's Little Trip cover. He has great, great submissions to way too many side fights, including like a Pixies cover and tribute covers of Carpenters and David Bowie and Ramones songs, gifts of music, tons and tons more. And, you know, if like 275 to 300 original Paco Del Stinko songs isn't enough for you, and of course it isn't, that's why you also have to go to YouTube and type Paco Del Stinko into the search field and then enjoy videos for his songs Kim Deal and Watertight and His Last Few Days and his guitar work on Under Over. So welcome to 2 Jerks, 1 Vote, Paco Del Stinko.
Wow. Guys, that's incredible. How are you doing? I'm glad to be here.
Thrilled to have you on. Really, really glad.
Ryan really does his homework for these things.
I can tell, man. I think the first thing you got to do is whittle that intro down.
It's like, just edit that.
I don't know. What did I miss? Did I miss other stuff?
There was a collaboration with Lunkhead relatively recently.
I don't even remember. There's a lot of people I submitted under aliases. I can't even remember them all. But it's been a long time for that. And I was just thinking about Auntie M tonight. Remember her? And I was saying, I did something with her and Johnny Cash Point. No idea what it is. It's out there somewhere. I don't know. So anyway, that's great. Wow. That's a wonderful introduction. I'm feeling like I'm being roasted or something. That's before they put me in the cart and dragged me out to the woods, you know.
Soon. No, actually, you know, looking into a bunch of that stuff, a lot of those side fights are gone. A lot of that stuff, all of those links don't work anymore. All of Nivius's links don't work anymore. All of Johnny Cashpoint's links don't work anymore. The stuff that Mike Lamb and Jack hosted, all of that's gone. So I know that like Lunkhead is really busy fixing typos, but in the meantime, all of this music is disappearing. Having said that, I'm not going to do anything about it. I don't know anything about computers, but it's a shame.
Oh, good God, no. I barely got this phone dialed. Are you kidding me? I didn't do any of that stuff.
Fluffy has a tremendous archive of song fight material. I bet you if we were to bother her a lot, she might be interested in kind of fixing some of those broken links with links to her stuff.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Somewhere in there, years ago, I couldn't believe they did this for me, was a Shuaro Del Stinko. And that was a big thing for me because I heard my songs done by people with better skills and talent. And I was like, man, some of these are pretty good songs. They sound better by this guy, you know, Gene Barrow, Berkeley Boys did all that stuff. Amazing, amazing.
We'll have to look that up. Do you know, are those links still working, or would you probably just downloaded that stuff anyway?
Well, King Arthur was in charge of the Shuaro archives a while, and I haven't seen him around in years. Okay. So it was under the Shuaro. I know he had the files, but I don't know if he ever put them up. I don't think they're there. Mm-hmm. I have them somewhere. If someone ever did this, I can produce them, you know. But what an honor that is. Jeez, you guys are worthy one too.
So Paco, when you first started out, I bet you didn't play drums and bass and theremin and keys and all the things that you play now. Like, how did you learn all that stuff?
I guess just pick it up and do it, you know. I've never been a great one to practice. I love playing. I'm old enough now where, you know, I've been playing some things long enough and they come out pretty good. Drums, not one of them. I think drums and vocals are a couple things I probably should have no business doing, but I do them anyway, so too bad, you know. Just because they're so fun to do, I guess.
You know? Cool.
Picking them up, you know, when I was able to have a drum set permanently in my house, you know, that was a big step, and it wasn't until I was older, going in an apartment trying to bang out drums on the keyboard, you know.
Yeah.
Drum machine, et cetera, et cetera.
So you have a mic'd up drum set in your home, like ready to go?
I do. My studio is ridiculous. I'm fortunate to have it, number one. I got to tell you that. But it's like you have to lower me in over the top, almost like I'm going into the space capsule. There's zero room in there. Sometimes if I lean too far back in my chair, I get a cymbal in my neck. But everything's in there. You know, they get the cars and the amps and the, you know, keyboards and the effects pedals up to the ceiling. That's a little bubble of creativity, you know. Guitars, too many guitars. But I pick, you know, you pick it up as it goes, time goes on. The theremin I bumped into and have had and use occasionally. And, I began the drums of the situation. It's like, I'm fortunate to have it, even if I can't play well. They sound great, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I just like the organicness of them. And once in a while, I get a loosey-goosey vibe going that sounds like, yeah, that's no bad drumming. But still, see, if you're doing it and having it sound organic and things like that, I try to do. Something like that. I don't know. I'm rambling off on a tangent here.
You like the sound of a guitar amplifier, too. You like to mic amplifiers and not do the emulations or the in-the-box sort of guitar sounds, right?
I do that, although recently I've been doing, like, direct. Do, like, a direct box, and that's a whole different thing. If you can tweak it, sometimes you can't even tell the difference. I do love the sound. You know, you get some air in there. And, you know, I don't want to be all snobby about it because there's some great sound of guitar stuff out there. But I don't know, maybe it just feels different or something, you know. It's almost like you can, if you're playing loud enough, you know, feel your hair blowing back. But that type of thing, there's something a little more organic about it. Even though that software and stuff that's out there, it's amazing, really. It's crazy what they can do. They can do it. You guys, everyone can do it.
There is something a little bit more direct about, you know, just playing the guitar and then tweaking a little knob and then, you know, just to get it exactly sounding exactly the way that you want.
But really, what's wrong with that too? You know, it's your medium, you know, your paintbrush or something like that. You're producing the colors or textures or precise rhythmic happenings, you know, by whatever tools are available to you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I really respect the amount of work that you do that's very organic and everything, but I can't be bothered, man. It's like the, you know, technology has caught up to my incompetence, and I take full advantage of all of that. So everything that we do is fake, except for, I mean, there's the guitars and stuff like that. But I go in and I just type stuff into the piano roll, man. Can't be bothered to do the actual work. Like you do, the sucker.
No, that is work, and it sounds great when it's done, too. You know, I spend a lot of years programming drum machines. I get, you know, the time hunched over, beep, boop, boop, and the colored lights going by and the whole thing. And then, you know, when you hit go at the end, that's great. You know, you put it together, you built it, you compose it. It's whatever you got to do, you know.
Yeah.
If you can mix it all up, if you're just a guy with a laptop stretching out samples, well, that's something, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not it yet, you know.
But there's plenty of stuff that you can do on real drums that you can't do on a drum machine, and that gets noticed. And I admire that and envy that as much as I like Kyle. Yeah.
That all sounds good, man. It's all fun. I love doing it. You know, if there wasn't a song for it, I'd just be doing it for fewer people, me.
Paco, was there a Nur Ein round? And I seem to remember that the challenge was something like intentional mistake, or like you left something kind of not good into the song and it still worked out anyway. I seem to remember that you did the entire recording, like old school four track style. Do you remember that song?
Oh, yeah. I love that song.
Yeah, that turned out to be one of the best ones of that Nur Ein.
I really dug that song. Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. I remember doing, I wanted it to sound like it was a mono garage recording.
Yeah.
And I took like the dynamic microphone and put it through. I had this one of those old wooden crate amplifiers, solid state thing, and used that as a PA. And then recorded the PA, you know, so it sounded like you were rocking out in Dad's garage when he's got the car out for a drive or something. And yeah, I really dug that. I was listening to or inspired by The Mummies, if you ever heard those guys, really.
They're like a 60s garage band?
Well, except they came out in like the 90s, and they were all dressed as mummies. And they just look them up. They're great. You know, it's good fun. But yeah, thank you. That was fun. I remember trying to do that, you know, like we used to record, hang a boombox off the ceiling, and we'd jam Black Sabbath in disguise, so or whatever, you know. That thing, the compressed condenser mic sound or something.
Nice.
Something like that. Yeah. Love that stuff.
All right, Ryan, you got any more questions before we push on?
I could go through the typical, the big one that we always do, the how did you find Song Fight sort of thing. I know that you've been at it for longer than a lot of our listeners and us, certainly. But yeah, so how did you come to it?
This is I know the story, I think I can whittle it down pretty good. It's I went to college for a little bit in the 90s, a couple of years I had to leave, and I had a music class where we composed a song for the class and the teacher would perform it, or you perform it, teacher. And I titled mine. It was called Hounded by a Duck in C-Sharp Minor. I don't know what it means. But later that night, I was lying in bed thinking about all the other students' songs. And I started assigning them titles. And I was pissing myself laughing. So I got up and wrote down all the titles. Eventually wrote songs to the titles. I started doing this for years. So I had notebooks full of titles, writing the songs to them later. You know, I'd have 10 ready to go. And I'd be da-da-da. Eventually, you know, fast forward, I'm on the computer now. And I saw something. It was Album a Day, I think. Was the first thing I bumped into. This is the one you had to dial up on AOL. Someone mentioned Song Fight, so then I went and checked it out. I said, oh my God, there's a place, you know, that puts the titles up, and I got to write the song at the time. I've been doing this for years, you know. So I'm like, come on, this is, I'm in heaven, I'm home, you know. And I listened and I wrote songs, and it was three or four that I never submitted. And finally I put one in, you know, and I thought it was good enough to go, and it was okay, you know, it had this very theatrical, but anyway, I found it through that. You know, started off with writing titles, and then I bumped into a site that writes titles. Perfect, you know. Cool. I can't leave. I'm not allowed to or something.
Very cool.
Yeah, we finally met somebody who didn't get into it through MC Front a lot. Who'd have thunk?
Who? MC Who a lot?
Never heard of him.
Oh, that's awesome. It looks like there's something about JB having a beef with me on the board. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw
that. We've got a beef. I'm preparing a diss track. I was like, okay.
I think that was manufactured to bring some sort of a narrative line to the 20th anniversary, you know, whatever is happening for that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bit of WWW going on, or the, what is it? The
WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny, the other night in the middle of doing my the song that's up now, what the hell, I don't know what's called. I stopped. I said, I got an idea for a beef. So I came up with this like metal riff. And I put down a couple beats, like a minute 10. I said, now it's ready to go. If something pops up, I'm going to give him some instant beef.
Cool.
Okay, guys.
Should we move on to the review? Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about the songs.